Episode 111, BulaNetwork.com. Welcome back to the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is BulaNetwork.com. And today's show, we're going to talk about chaos, commotion, and complexity. We're going to do that next.
The smell of the grass from the parking lot. And as I recall, we got to know each other.
Well, welcome back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, home of the Yellow Studio. Is making your business more complicated than it needs to be, or making it more complicated than it even should be, is that kind of standard practice for you? It is for a lot of folks. Lots and lots of people decide that they need to fix things that aren't broken. You know, and we've all heard that moniker, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And then other people go by the other moniker that we've probably all heard. Well, if it ain't broke, break it, because sooner or later it's going to get broken. I don't know. I'm sure, you know, one of the problems with a lot of this kind of stuff is there really isn't one size fits all. Businesses change. They morph. They adapt over time. It could be that today in your business, and if you aren't self-employed, or if you're not at the helm of a business, just substitute career for business, and hopefully the things that we say will have some application, because we all have a career. We all have some kind of an occupation. So whether we are business owners or not, I don't want you thinking that you're excluded. I'm not one of those fellows, by the way, who thinks, oh, you're employed? Oh, you poor, pitiful thing. I know a lot of people who are perfectly happy. In fact, happier than happy to be employed and to not be self-employed. So you're not listening to the voice of a person who thinks, well, if you are not self-employed, then you're just a fool. And you can't possibly understand the level of fulfillment that people who roll their own thing feel. Well, I won't go off into that. That's a subject for another day. I'll make note of that. So whether it is your career or whether it is your business, do you make things more complicated than they need to be? Do you make things more complicated than they should be? Is there too much chaos and commotion and complexity in your life? I've got some observations to make, as I know you fully expected I would. I find that many people suffer these three C's, chaos, commotion, complexity. And I've talked about it in recent days, but it speaks to these three things, and that is they just don't think. They don't pre-think. Now, we could get all wrapped up in strategy and other things. You know, strategy is, and I'm a huge believer in strategy, and I tend to be rather fond of strategy and would somewhat fancy myself to be a strategic thinker, but I can tell you, man, there's so many times that the strategy just doesn't it doesn't matter nearly as much as just taking some action. And I'm probably like you and many other people. I like to put some adjective on the front end of action. Will any action do? Just taking some action? You know what? Sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes it can pay off. Sometimes it can pay off if you just take the wrong action. I mean, it's better than no action. And I catch myself, maybe you do too, I catch myself saying things like meaningful action or positive action. Well, how do you know? Sometimes you don't know that up front. I mean, sometimes you don't know if the action that you're taking is meaningful until you look in the rearview mirror. Now, we hope that it is. We think it is at the time, but sometimes it proves, well, that, no, not so much. I'm watching SportsCenter this morning, and they've been showing this poor college football player, and he takes a kickoff, and he takes the kickoff in the end zone. He catches it. He's standing on his 2 feet, and he catches it. Well, he has no intention. It's apparent that he has no intention of running it out of the end zone. He just casually walks over, and he's, you know, he's going to kind of drop the ball to the referee, and he does. Well, the referee just keeps his eyes fixed on the ball because the poor player made a mistake. There's one little piece of action that he needed to take, and that is to kneel down and let one knee touch the ground. He needed to down the ball in the end zone. He failed to do that. He failed to take this one action. The opposing team, they jump on the ball. Referee signals touchdown for the other team. Yeah, he went to the sideline just sick. He failed to just simply kneel down and let his knee, one knee, just one knee, touch the ground. And just like that, 7 points to the other team after they kicked the extra point. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes that's our life. Sometimes we neglect, we fail to do something that we look back and, man, alive, that would have been so simple. And sometimes, just sometimes, that one simple thing that we could have done, man alive, we could have avoided so much chaos and commotion and, yeah, complexity. This young man could have done that. Simply kneeling down would have avoided a lot of pain. Okay, you could argue, well, boy, look at all the joy that he created for the other team. But, yeah, there's the rub. It's the other team. It wasn't his team. We often make our careers, we often make our businesses more complicated than they need to be. We often make them more complex than they should be. And it can stem from a variety of things. Most often, in my judgment and in my experience, most often it stems from a couple of things. One, it stems from just a sheer lack of pre-thinking. We just haven't thought about some situation, some circumstance, until it comes up. And then we try to just shoot from the hip. We try to just do something, you know, quickly on the fly. And I don't mean that you have to sit around and you have to pre-think every little decision. I think these things can be rather, well, for lack of a better word, I think they can be rather philosophical. In your career, for instance, have you pre-thought? There's lots of discussion today about the Penn State debacle, and now we have it in Syracuse, and then just today we find out that there are some Well, they're not now young men, but they were young men back in the 80s, and now they have come forth with some allegations against the president of the AAU. I mean, man alive, are we just going to find that there's all kinds of people that are associated with youth sports groups, youth sports teams? And you know, young people in any situation, I mean, are we gonna find just all kind of sinister things? Maybe. I don't know. But there's been lots of conversation about what this one assistant coach in Penn State, what he witnessed, what he saw, what he walked in on. And I don't know about you, but I can't count the conversations that people have engaged me in discussing, you know, wouldn't you do this and wouldn't you do that? And can you believe that this guy only did that and only did this? And all the while I'm thinking, you know, I've never pre-thought if I walked in on someone who was molesting or abusing a child, what would I do? I mean, I don't know that any of us spend a lot of time or any time thinking about what we would do if we walked in on that. But surely, hopefully, many of us, most of us, he says, questioning, most of us have some, we have some code of behavior, some code of morality. And we hold ourselves accountable to having pre-thought how we feel about kids being abused or kids being molested. And surely, now I realize not all of us, clearly not all of us, but clearly, can we say most of us? Boy, let's hope we can. Are so opposed to that, are so adverse to allowing someone to harm a child, that in our pre-thinking, just ingrained in who we are and who we've developed ourselves to be, we have such an opposition to that, that we would defend this child. Okay, I realize, you know, and you can say, well, here's a man who was esteemed by this assistant coach. Here's a man who was, you know, he was kind of a keynote kind of a guy on this particular campus and a lot of circumstances. But I often use the word, I get it's a word, it's hyphenated, but non-negotiable. And the phrase that I'm particularly fond of is non-negotiable standards. I would hope to think that in my life that if I saw someone abusing, molesting a child, that the non-negotiable standard is, this isn't going to happen. I'm going to stop this. Now, that is, you know, kind of an extreme example, I suppose, of pre-thinking based on our philosophy, based on our code of conduct, based on what we believe is right. But you know what? There's a lot of careers and there's a lot of businesses, and they have not really pre-thought their philosophy. They've not pre-thought their code of conduct. And as a result, sometimes chaos and commotion and complexity do run the day. And it makes our careers and our businesses, well, just chaotic. Chaotic because circumstances and situations arise every day that maybe they blindside us. We didn't see that coming. And now we're just all in a tizzy because what's our reaction to be? We didn't think about this. I see it. I see it happen. I see it happen quite commonly. I see other times where it's not so much that people haven't pre-thought something, and as a result, they either don't know what to do or they're shooting from the hip. But the second group, or the second kind of circumstance that I observe, is people who have some ulterior motive. There is some underlying psychology behind what they want to do. And as a result, they end up addressing things that either don't matter or don't seem to matter. Or you could say they're fixing problems that don't exist. But in reality, that's not it at all. In reality, what they are doing is they are pushing their agenda. You see this pretty common when there are partnerships, when there are associations, when there are, you know, vendor-supplier kind of situations. You can sometimes see it when there are customer and provider situations. Now, you can apply that to your career and just use whatever relationships you want to. It sometimes can be between a superior and a subordinate. It might be among peers. But people have an agenda. You know, and we've all got an agenda. I mean, who's kidding who? But sometimes people will impose chaos and complexity and commotion on you because, well, they are pushing their agenda. And sometimes we let them. Sometimes we acquiesce. Sometimes we completely lay down and we let people make our own lives, our own careers, our own businesses full of much more chaos than they really need to be simply because, well, we've not taken control of our own situation. And there's the fourth C in the entire conversation, and that C is control. No. I don't mean control everything because you can't. You're not God, and there's a lot of things beyond your control. But I do mean control what you can. And maybe because we're sticking with C's, I'm going to use control, but really probably a better word is an M word, manage. Your career, is it likely that someone else is more interested in your career than you? Not likely. Is it likely that someone is more interested in your business than you? Not likely. Is it likely that someone else cares more deeply about your succeeding than you? No, it's not likely. Man, I am a broken record when it comes to telling people, especially business people who sit down at some table of negotiation with someone, and someone else, you know, invariably somebody at a negotiation table will say, well, you know, I tell you what you need to do. And immediately my antenna go up and I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Brace yourself, because here's where the imposition's going to come. Here's where this person is going to try to run your business, and you can't allow it. Now, I don't mean that everything that comes after that phrase is going to be bad for your business. It may not be, but you just better be paying very careful attention, because what this is saying to you is, I'll tell you what you need to do, and here's the parenthetical thing that you won't hear, but this is what's going on inside their head. Bank on it. Here's what you need to do, because this is really what I would like you to do. This is what I want you to do. This is what will benefit my position. This is what will help my company. This is what will help me if you do this. You can just bank on it. Now, it's possible. It's entirely possible that when they say, I tell you what you need to do, that you could do that, and not only would whatever it is they suggest, not only would it be good for them, but it might be good for you. So I'm not saying just stop your ears up. I'm saying be really careful. In my experience throughout the years, I have found that it's not very often going to be a win-win situation. Everybody talks a big game when we talk about, oh, it's a win-win. More often than not, it's not. More often than not, people put forth propositions that are very much, I win, you lose. And sometimes it's more dramatic than others. Sometimes it's I win big and you lose big. And sometimes it's I win a little bit and you lose a little bit. But it's more often than not, in my experience, it's win-lose. It's not win-win. You have got to take responsibility for your own business. You've got to take responsibility for your own career. And you've got to take responsibility for the chaos, the commotion, the complexity, the failure, even if it's just failure at this negotiation table. You have to take responsibility for that. You can't acquiesce that. You can't go home at night acquiescing the fact that your career's not going the way you hoped it would, the way you wanted it to. Yes, there are things beyond your control. So it is with a business owner. So it is with a career. But manage what you can. Take control and command of what you can. Be proactive where you can. Pre-think what you can. Don't overcomplicate things, and don't let other people overcomplicate them for you. Move forward. Take responsibility. I've said it before, and I think it bears repeating here. The whole notion of entrepreneurship, and I'm old enough, I remember when it became more the vogue thing. And I've heard the term all my life, but back when I was a young person, back in the 70s, entrepreneurs typically were people who were noted for starting and flipping or selling businesses. They were people, mostly men, admittedly, and thankfully we're seeing that change, but mostly men who were really bent to start a business. And what they enjoyed is they enjoyed the startup. They didn't so much enjoy it once it got to some age of maturity and it needed a manager, a professional manager. They enjoyed coming up with an idea or helping somebody else's idea come to fruition. And the minute it was at some level of fruition, they were bored. And they needed to go do it again and again and again and again. That's who we thought entrepreneurs were. Small business owners, on the other hand, were people that might start an enterprise and continue on with that enterprise. Now, yes, they might start a second or a third enterprise. But they were less interested than in the whole startup thing, just the startup. They were mostly interested just in business. We call them small business, mostly small business owners. If you look up the term entrepreneur, what you find is you find the true meaning is someone who is willing to undertake the financial responsibility, the financial outcome of an enterprise. They shoulder the responsibility. What I'm saying is we all should shoulder the responsibility for our own career. We should shoulder the responsibility for our own lives. We should shoulder the responsibility for, if we are a business owner, for our businesses. And in that sense, yes, we're all entrepreneurs. We all should take on the personal accountability and the personal responsibility to make sure that we bear the brunt of the responsibility for the outcome. Yes, bad things happen to good people. Sometimes circumstances befall us that are beyond our control. But forget all of those. Think about all of the circumstances that befall us that are perfectly within our control. Think about, I'm thinking right now about a vast number of business owners that I know whose lives are absolutely full of chaos, commotion, and complexity. And I know that in a 48-hour span or less, they could change it. Admittedly, some don't know how, but others, they just put one foot in front of the other day after day after day after day after day, 1 foot in front of the other, not pre-thinking anything, not giving anything more than 10 minutes of thought. They're like goldfish. You know, every moment is a new day. Just completely oblivious about the things going on around them. I mean, they're like kittens looking at these little shiny toys or balls of yarn. And it's a horrible, horrible way to run a business. It's a horrible way to run a career, and what they think is, they think that the hectic, frenetic pace, well, that's the stuff success is made of, you know. Let's move fast. Well, go watch any group of preschool children in some playground. That's chaos. It's commotion. Oh, sure, they're having a good time, but they lack an understanding. Now go to a middle school. Go to a middle school and watch a team. Well, it's much more organized. There is some purpose with which they behave. It's not like the preschoolers. They're not preschoolers anymore. They've grown up a little bit. And all of a sudden, their play is more organized. I could argue, in fact, I will argue as we end the show, I will argue that not only is the middle school, well, not only is it more organized, it's more fun. And there you have it. It's more fun. It's more profitable. Your business and your career will be the same. You will find that your career is more profitable. You will find that your business is more profitable if you will uncomplicate things and not let others or yourself make them unnecessarily so. Hey, I hope you're having a good holiday season. We're trying to do it here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Go to the website, BulaNetwork.com. Go to the Facebook page, Facebook.com/BulaNetwork. My name is Randy Cantrell. I hope you'll connect with me. I'd love to hear your thoughts. All kinds of ways to reach me. This is The Yellow Studio.